Masech Shabbos Perek Aleph Mishnah Tes until Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. We learned in the previous Mishnah that according to Beis Shammai, one may not give his clothes to a non-Jew to wash for him, or his animal hides to somebody to turn into leather for him, unless there's enough time for the non-Jew to do so before Shabbos comes in. Because just like you can't do a malacha on Shabbos, you cannot ask a non-Jew to do it for you. And according to Beis Shammai, this even applies if you give it to him before Shabbos comes in. However, according to Beis Hillel, as long as you give it to the non-Jew before Shabbos, even if he'll do it on Shabbos itself, that's okay. Now the halacha follows Beis Hillel, just like in most cases. However, Omar Amnishim Ben Gamliel, Sedum Nishim Ben Gamliel, Nagin Hoyu Beis Abba, we had the custom in the household of my father, Amnon Gamliel, Shehoyu Nosim Klei Lavan, that they would give their white clothes, L'Cholis Nochri, to a non-Jewish washer, Shalosh Yom Kodin La Shabbos, at least 3 days before Shabbos. Because since white clothes are much harder to wash, it would often be a 3-day process for one's white clothes to be washed. And therefore, following Beis Shammai's opinion, they made sure to give it to the non-Jew with enough time for him to do it before Shabbos. But again, this was a stringency on themselves, because the actual halach is like Beis Hillel that you could even give it to the non-Jewish washer a couple of minutes before Shabbos comes in. Now, earlier on in this perek, we had a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel concerning what is known as Shavisas Kelim, not allowing one's possessions to be doing malacha on Shabbos. So as we saw, according to Beis Shammai, this is a requirement, whereas according to Beis Hillel, as long as you are not doing the action yourself, the malacha yourself, your possessions can be doing it. We're going to see now in the second half of this Mishnah, a case where even Beis Shammai agree that one's possessions can be doing a sort of malacha. And the reason for this is because were you to do the malacha yourself, it wouldn't even be forbidden midaraisa. The whole malacha is only forbidden midrabanan, and even according to Beis Shammai, Shavisas Kelim only applies to malachas which are forbidden midaraisa. So the Mishnah says, V'shovin elu v'elu, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, she'toyanin kuris Beis Chabad, that one can load an olive press with beams, v'igulei hagas, and you can also load circular beams, circular planks of wood onto a wine press. And although it is forbidden on Shabbos to squeeze oil or wine out of grapes and olives, it's only forbidden midaraisa to do the first stage. The first stage is when they would crush or trample on the olives or grapes, and most of the oil or the juice would come out at that stage. Not all of it. So after that, they would put heavy pieces of wood on top of the olives or grapes so that the rest of the oil or wine or grape juice would come out of it. But that part is only forbidden midrabanan, since firstly, most of the oil has already been squeezed out. And secondly, because even if you wouldn't put this beam on top of the olives or the grapes, all of the oil would eventually come out by itself. This is just speeding up the process, but that is not something which is forbidden midaraisa, and therefore even Beis Shammai agree that Shavisas Kelim is not required over here. Mr. Yud, after seeing in the previous Mishnah a case where even Beis Shammai agree with Beis Hillel that one can allow his possessions to be doing malacha on Shabbos, we're now going to see a case where Beis Hillel agree with Beis Shammai that it will be forbidden. Says the Mishnah, in selling basar, botzer, or veitzah, one cannot roast meat, onions, or eggs, or any other foods on Friday before Shabbos comes in, unless there's enough time before Shabbos will come in for them to be roasted whilst it is still daytime. And this doesn't mean it has to be fully ready, but it means it has to be at the earliest stage of edibility, which is a third cooked, and this is known as kamachol ben derusoi, which literally means like the food of Ben Derusoi, and it's called this because Ben Derusoi was a very famous bandit who was constantly on the run from people trying to catch him, or from people trying to get their money back. And because of that, he didn't have time to cook things for a long time, so he cooked his food for the minimum time possible. And that was until it was a third cooked. From that point, it is considered edible. And so the Mishnah is saying that there's enough time for the food to reach that stage of cooking, then it is permitted, but otherwise it's forbidden, even according to Beis Hillel. And the reason for this is because there is another concern at hand. And that is, if the food is not yet cooked when Shabbos comes in, then we're afraid that you will come to stoke the coals in order to make the fire bigger and hotter, so that it cooks the food faster. And of course that's forbidden because you're increasing a fire which is forbidden on Shabbos. And therefore only if it's slightly cooked when Shabbos comes in, such that you won't be motivated to start stoking the coals and increasing the fire, only then may you roast and cook the food before Shabbos comes in. On a similar note, the Mishnah is now going to discuss things which are cooked in an oven, in Nosin Pas Lataner, when we not place bread into an oven in Chashecha, close to the time where it's getting dark and Shabbos is coming in, and neither may one place some sort of cake which was cooked on top of coals, again because we're concerned that you'll come to stoke and move about the coals in order to increase the fire's strength. Says the Mishnah, unless it's in the oven for enough time whilst it is still day, such that a crust can form on the side of the bread, which is facing the inner part of the oven. The way that the bread was made in those days was that it was stuck to the sides of the oven. So the side of the bread which wasn't stuck to the side of the oven, rather is facing inwards. So once that is crusted up, then the bread is considered cooked, such that it is no more worried that somebody will stoke the coals in order to increase the fire. Because increasing the fire will just damage the bread and burn it. So if it can reach that stage of the baking of the bread before Shabbos comes in, then it will be permitted, otherwise it's forbidden. Rabbi Eliezer says, the stage of the baking where it is considered to be completed is Kadesh Yikrim Atachtein Shalah, only once the bottom of the bread, meaning the side of the bread which is stuck to the oven, only once that is crusted, and there's a discussion amongst the Mefarshim whether that is an earlier stage or a later stage of the baking, but all agree that if it is not considered baked by the time Shabbos comes in, then it is forbidden to do so in case you come to increase the fire on Shabbos. Mishud Aleph, we're now going to see an exception to that, meaning whereas usually it's forbidden to have anything cooking on Shabbos unless the food is already cooked, because you might come to move about the fire and stoke the coals, we're going to see a case where you are allowed to have it cooking even if the food has not yet been cooked, as the Mishnah will now describe. Now during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when it came to the Yom Tov of Pesach, so the Korban Pesach was offered up in groups on the afternoon before the first day of Pesach, and then parts of that korban were burnt on the Mizbeach, part of it was eaten by the people who were bringing that korban. So the parts which they were eating were often only cooked on the actual night when it was actually Pesach already. Now in general that's not a problem, because one is allowed to cook on Yom Tov, so they could roast their korban Pesach on Yom Tov once it had come in already. However, if the first day of Pesach falls on a Shabbos, so they definitely can't start a fire on Shabbos itself, but the Mishnah says that you are allowed, Mishalshlinis HaPesach Batanur, you're allowed to put the korban Pesach animal in the oven, Im Chashecho, right before it gets dark and Shabbos comes in. Even though usually this is prohibited, in case you come to stoke the coals, in this case it is permitted, because since this is for the sake of a korban, and it's being done in groups of lots of people, so you're far less likely to come and do the Avera, even by mistake of stoking the coals, since we'll be more careful with the halachas when it comes to Korban Pesach than regular food. On a similar note, there was a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash in which a fire was constantly burning. Often Kohanim would come into this room in order to warm up their feet, since they were walking around barefoot on marble floor, which can get quite cold, so they would come into this room in order to warm up. Now to get this fire going, although the actual fire was made up of lots of large pieces of wood, they would use very small pieces of wood, which are easier to set on fire, in order to start the fire up. So the Mishnah says, "Ma'achizines ha'or." One can start the fire with these small pieces of wood, b'meduras beis hamoked, in the chamber of the beis hamoked, which is where this fire burnt. And you can even do this right before Shabbos, for a very similar reason to the Korban Pesach. That since the Kohanim are working in the Beis HaMikdash, and there are lots of other Kohanim around, they're much more careful with everything, and they are much less likely to come to stoke the fire on Shabbos itself, and therefore you could start the fire right before Shabbos. On the other hand, the Vagavulin, which literally means in the borders, and it refers to outside of the Beis HaMikdash, a regular fire which somebody is making for Shabbos, you can only do so if by the time Shabbos comes in, Kedei Shetech is Ha'ur Berubon, only if most of the wood which is set up for the fire has set alight by the time Shabbos comes in, only then is it permitted, because once the majority is lit up, so then it's easy for the rest of it to catch fire, and you won't need to stoke around the wood. However, before that stage, there is still a danger that you will stoke the wood and move it about, and therefore it will be forbidden. Now, Rabbi Yehuda adds a leniency. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bapechomen, with charcoal, if the fire is being made out of charcoal, so that sets alight very easily, and therefore kol shehu, as soon as any of the charcoal has set alight, even if it's not the majority yet, nevertheless that is good enough, because that sets alight very easily, and it spreads the fire very easily, so once again there is no danger of you coming to stoke the coals, since the fire will be very big without that." Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. The focus of the second perek of Maseches Shabbos is the obligation to light candles just before Shabbos comes in. Now the reason for this obligation is either for the honor of Shabbos, it is considered an honor to light candles for the sake of Shabbos, or it could be so that the one can enjoy themselves on Shabbos, because there is a mitzvah of Oinig Shabbos, of enjoying oneself on Shabbos, and rejoicing, and so if you light candles that facilitates the enjoyment, and it allows for a peaceful home where you can see everything, you're not just in a dark room, but whatever the reason may it be, it is an obligation for one to light candles in the house just before the arrival of Shabbos. So the Mishnah asks, Bama Madlikin uvama ein Madlikin. With what wicks and oils may one light candles before Shabbos? And with what wicks and oils may one not use? And first the Mishnah is going to list all of the wicks which one cannot use. And the reason why you can't use these wicks is because oil doesn't enter into the wicks themselves. Rather, it just surrounds the wicks without being absorbed into it. And therefore the fire doesn't take hold properly and it will flicker a lot and it won't be a proper light, in which case you wouldn't have achieved the honor of Shabbos. And as well as that, there is a concern that if it is not a good flame, you might come to move about the oil or move about the wick and play around in order to increase the fire, which as we have seen is forbidden on Shabbos. So what wicks wouldn't produce a good flame? A madlikim, one is not allowed to light lo belechesh, using the wicks which comes from the inside of a cedar tree, v'lo b'chosen, nor may one use a wick from flax which hasn't yet been combed. Before flax has been combed and smoothened, the wick won't draw the oil very well, v'lo b'choloch. This is some sort of bad quality silk, v'lo b'psilas ha'idon, nor may one use the wick which comes from the inside of an arava tree, v'lo b'psilas ha'midbar, nor can you use a wick which is made out of some sort of weeds, which come from the desert. Again, all of these wicks will not produce a good flame. And finally, v'lo b'rekosh apnei ha'mayim, you can't use a wick which is made out of the moss, the green moss which is at the bottom of a ship in the sea. That can be turned into a wick, but again, that is not going to be a good flame, and therefore you cannot use it for the Shabbos candles. Now the list of the invalid oils begins, and the reason is very similar, that the following oils don't draw up and get absorbed into the wick very well, and therefore we're worried that you might come to play around with the wick and play around with the oil, start moving it about, which is forbidden on Shabbos, to increase a fire. And another reason is that it won't be the honor of Shabbos, because it won't be a proper light. So these oils include v'lo b'zephes, one cannot use pitch, v'lo b'shavon, nor wax, v'lo b'shemen kick. The Gemara explains this to be oil which comes from a bird, actually. But again, that oil won't be absorbed in the wicks properly, and therefore cannot be used in the Shabbos candles. Now the Mishnah says you're not allowed to use v'lo b'shemen sereifa. You're not allowed to use shemen sereifa. Shemen sereifa refers to truma oil, oil which is given to a kohen as part of the gift of truma, which then became tomei. And the halacha is, if truma becomes tomei, it has to be burnt. Now, although the truma does have to be burnt, the kohen is allowed to benefit from the burning. So that is not the reason why you cannot use it for Shabbos candles. Rather, it's for a different reason, and that is that the halacha is that karbonos which become invalid and also need to be burnt, they cannot be burnt on Yom Tov. It's then from a posuk, but be it as it may, that also applies to truma which has to be burnt. Any sanctified food which needs to be burnt because of its sanctified status cannot be burnt on a Yom Tov. Now, if that's the case, why can't they use it for Shabbos candles on a regular week? The answer is, the Rabbanon decreed that on every single Shabbos, you cannot use Shemen Sereifa, in case when Yom Tov falls on a Friday, you come to use the Shemen Sereifa on that day as well. And then it will be forbidden, because it's Yom Tov that day. So to prevent that occurring, the Rabbanon said that you can never use Shemen Sereifa as the oil in your Shabbos candles. Okay, the list continues. V'lo ba'alyo, one cannot use the fat which comes from the tail of sheep, so you can't use that as the oil, v'lo b'chelev, nor can you use regular animal fat, because all of these things will not produce a good flame. Now Nachum Hamadi argues on this last case, and Nachum Hamadi says, madlikim b'chelev mevushal, one can light the Shabbos candles with boiled fat, because once it's boiled, it will produce a good flame. The oil will draw up in the wick very nicely. Now according to the Tanakama, it's true that boiled fat does produce a good flame, but if we allow people to use that, then they will come to use the fat even when it's not boiled. So to prevent that occurring, the Tanakama forbids one to use any fat at all. And now we have a third opinion, v'chachom omim, the chachom say, ech mevushal v'echosh einu mevushal, whether the fat is boiled or not, ein madlikin bo, you cannot use it for the Shabbos candles. And although this seems to be the same opinion as the Tanakama, the Gemara explains that the difference between the Tanakama and the chachomim is that according to one of them, although it's not clear which one, if you mix boiled fat together with a little bit of valid oil, then you can use that. Because in that case, we're not concerned that you'll come to use any fat, because this is clearly an unusual way of doing it, so it's clear that only this case is permitted.